The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
So much going on. When I woke up this morning, and I am here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm in a hotel, and so I went downstairs to get some juice, and I saw on the news everything that's going on in Charlotte, North Carolina. I just could not believe it. It was just very reminiscent of what we witnessed in Ferguson with the tear gas, police in riot gear, people protesting, because once again we have another person being killed by cops. This is ridiculous. It is insane, and it's just too much. In fact, I was still just processing the whole shooting of this man, Terrence Crutcher, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I received a call from Iran about an interview. Press TV called to ask me to give a statement on the shooting in North Carolina. I said, "You mean Tulsa, Oklahoma?" And they said, "No, in North Carolina." I said, "North Carolina? What happened in North Carolina?" I didn't even know the darn shooting had happened. I'm still processing this whole deal with Terrence Crutcher. So we have another brother that's been killed. This is Keith Lamont Scott in Charlotte. People are protesting, and my prayers go out to those families and other people who have lost loved ones, because we don't hear about every single shooting or death in a jail cell that happens. Right in Houston, my hometown, there was a woman who was having a mental episode. Her family called the police. I don't know why people keep calling the police on their family members when they're having a mental episode. You know that they have some issues, and you know you need to get them some help, and not the police. The police are not trained for that. They're trained to come in and use excessive force. And I don't know why you people keep calling police when your family having a breakdown. You can't help but have a breakdown with all this madness going on. Stop calling the police. We keep telling you to stop calling the police on your family. You know your family member has some issues. send him to the hospital. Don't call the police. So, anyway, that happened in Houston. So I digress a little, but we don't always know about all of these shootings and things that happen. And so when Christy, you called me for the interview, I was like, I'm thinking they confused. I'm like, what you talking about? No, we're talking about the shooting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You have your cities wrong. They're like, no. And I start looking at it online. They're like, well, we can send you the article. And I start Googling, and I'm like, well, I'll be damned. Somebody, you mean to tell me somebody else has been shot and killed? This is just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And we can't let this mess up our psyche. We keep seeing these snuff films taking place, these killings being played out over the television, and that really, really, really can negatively affect us. So we really have to be careful, and we really have to protect ourselves, and we have to know how to recover from this, because this is traumatic. Me and Featherlight, hey Featherlight, how you doing?
Namaste, namaste.
Oh, namaste, that's right, namaste. We were talking about the other day we were talking about how what we're witnessing and experiencing now is very similar to what people would experience, or what we've read about, what people experienced on the slave plantations, when the biggest and the strongest man was quartered, when his arms and legs were tied to a horse, and they would beat those horses four different ways, each limb tied to a horse, and you beat that horse until those horses run in each direction, north, south, east, and west, and the person's body was ripped apart, and everybody had to watch that.
Everyone
had to watch that happen.
Imagine
what that would do to just a common person. But just think, if that was your loved one, if that's your mother, your father, your brother, your relative, your husband, your wife, and you sitting here watching. Exactly. It's ridiculous. Same way when people were lynched, and God darn evil ass people would dare you to come and pull that body down.
Take them down.
You couldn't pull the body down. And
you have to watch it.
That's why day after day says strange fruit. You have to sit there and watch that body hang and rot. And so these people know exactly what they're doing.
Same thing with Michael Brown, leaving him out on the ground for 4.5 hours. It's the same impact.
Same impact. So they know exactly what they're doing to throw you off, affect your root chakra, where you're feeling all of this fear. Just imagine the fear that people. And I'm not even gonna lie. I'm so fearful. I'm in this hotel. I don't get on the hotel with white people. I do not. I'm afraid. I don't know what you might do. I don't know what you might do. Me, by myself, in a strange city? No. No, I'm not getting on the elevator with three white men. I don't know what y'all may do to me. Stick a needle in me and have me, drag me in some room. I'm already in Cleveland, where they abduct women and kidnap them and hold them hostage and murder them and kill them and stuff their bodies under their house. No. So, I just want to really, really, really pray for all of our protection, asking the ancestors to guide us and protect us, and may we have the strength to figure out what we need to do. When Press TV asked me last night, what do we need to do? Of course, I'm not going to sit there and tell them on international TV what we need to do. I just say we need to just change our response, like I always say. Because some things you just don't say over air.
Don't share everything.
No, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. We share too much. We talk too much. And what did Carnita used to say? We play too much and we stay too long.
We
stay too long. And so that's what the deal is. And so let me just see. Let me go to the story.
Excuse me, Black Rose. I just got online because I was having problems getting connected, so I don't know if you mentioned before I got online that there's been a civilian killed in North Carolina due to all this protest that's that they're doing.
I'm glad you
came up on TV.
Yeah, I did see a quick report that someone was seriously injured. But, okay, so now we do know that the person has succumbed to those injuries, are you saying?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, let me see. Let me just be quickly on the Terrence Crutcher shooting, the one that happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which, you know, of course has a tremendous amount of history, Black Wall Street, Greenville.
Yes.
We talked about Tulsa before. So Terrence Crutcher is the brother that was, his SUV apparently had some car trouble in the middle of the street. Huh. And it sounds like the person that called 911, which I don't even know why are you calling 911 anyway, talking about a man in the street, he looked like something wrong with him. It sounded like it was a black lady that called and reported it. Why don't you, I mean, his truck is broken down in the middle of the street.
Yeah, why are you calling the police?
I don't know. What's wrong?
They've already shown that they're not here to protect and serve, for one thing.
Exactly.
I mean, they're not going to jump in their car and come see about somebody who has a stalled car.
Does he have roadside assistance? And can you call somebody for him instead of calling the police? That's stupid. I don't understand that. So, anyone on the street subject to arrest. Now, breaking news, okay. So, we're going to pick up on this because I want Scotty to come on and give us an update because he's somewhat in that area. But in Tulsa, Oklahoma, police officer Betty Shelby fatally shot Terrence Crutcher, a 40-year-old unarmed black man, after his car was found abandoned in the middle of the road. Federal, state, and local authorities have launched investigations into the officer-involved shooting. Tiffany Crutcher, Terrence's twin sister, has urged prosecutors to immediately press charges against Shelby, a 5-year veteran with Tulsa Police. And from what I've been hearing is this woman has a scandalous record, this police woman.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so her husband was the one in the helicopter saying, it looks like a bad dude. And all that.
Oh.
Yeah, her husband. Mm. See, these people, they teaming up. They can't find a job anywhere else because they're not qualified to really work anywhere else. And I keep telling y'all, white people broke. They broke as hell. And so they have to go work as a police officer and all of this crap because they can't get a job anywhere else. You know, you're guaranteed a job on the police force. So,
little or no training.
Right. Her and her husband, both on the police force, and he's in the helicopter. He's saying it looks like a bad dude. How you know he looked like a bad? What does a bad dude look like? Black?
Right. What does a bad dude look like? What?
Yeah.
You're way up in the helicopter.
Right. So he looks black, and so Terrence Crutcher has his hands up as usual. Just like the other man, the behavioral counselor that was sitting in the middle of the street with his hands up, begging the police not to shoot him or his patient, and they still shot him. Same thing. So he had his hands up, and it looks like he started walking back to the car to place his hands on the car. And so at first the police were lying and saying that he reached into the car, but then after Benjamin Crump, who's the lawyer for the family, after a still of the video was produced, and it shows that the window was rolled up and there's blood on the window. So how did he reach in the window for a gun that you claim he was reaching for? So once again, lies. Lies.
Wow.
And they said he was refusing commands. Well, if he was refusing commands, then why didn't you just maybe shoot him in the ankle so he can fall on the ground, or maybe shoot him with a rubber beanbag or the rubber bullet to his leg, which would, of course, make him collapse. You could have done that. Why are you shooting at this man? He's stranded. He needs help, just like the other young brother football player that needed help when he had a wreck in North Carolina. And I still can't remember. I think that was in Dearborn. and I can't call the young girl's name, and she had an accident and went to the man's door, knocked on the door, and he blew her whole face off.
Renisha Boyd, I believe her name was.
Right, Boyd. Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was Renisha Boyd, but I was getting her confused with the young girl in Chicago that was shot by the cop.
It's so many victims, it's hard to keep up.
It sure is. It's hard to keep up. That's what we were just saying.
We were just saying that because, you know, Scotty, if you listen to me, you know, I used to rattle the names off. But you can't even keep up with them anymore. I had to write these names down of these two brothers right here because I was like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, Terrence Crutcher, that's in Tulsa. And then Lamont, okay, that's in North Carolina. You know, I had to write this down. I'm like, I can't even keep up with it. You can't keep up. It's ridiculous. And so the brother had his hands up, and the little, what's his name, Shelby, Officer Shelby, Killer Shelby. I'm going to call her Killer Shelby because she's not an officer. So she, of course, she fears for her life. My thing is, why y'all scary punk asses keep getting on the police force if you so afraid and scary? So that right there, that's BS. I mean, you know, we already know what the deal is. Dr. Francis Chris Wilson explained this to us. But I'm just saying, if that's what you want to go with, that you fear for your life, that's just like me being a radio host and an activist, and I have to go out and talk to people, and I have to be able to talk on the radio. If I'm afraid to talk to people, then I can't perform this duty. So if you are goddamn scared, why your ass want to be a police officer? You need to sit your ass at home and be a soccer mom if you're that damn scary. You don't need to be out here with no gun and no badge and trying to fight crime. We need some people who feel like they really can do the job. And you can't do the job, so you need to be fired. Because guess what? If I can't get out here and talk to people and do what I need to do, then I will be fired.
You need another profession.
Exactly. So you
and they always talk about how dangerous the job is, but you keep going for it.
You're the one that applied for it. Nobody better to be a police officer. Did nobody come and make you? These people are not drafted to be police officers. You applied for that position. So you cannot keep sitting here and saying you are afraid for your life. If you're that goddamn scared, then you don't need the job. That should be a disqualification right there. The minute you holler out you're scared for your life, you need to go on. You're scary. You can't handle it. You can't do the job.
Not qualified.
You're not qualified. So I don't want to keep Scotty waiting too long because I do want to hear from him. And we'll come back to this case in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I think I have a clip to play. But Scotty, if you could just give us an update, since you're kind of in the area, it'd be great to hear from you. I know you're not there on the ground, but what news updates have you heard? Scotty. Okay, maybe Scotty will come back to us.
I'm back.
But let's. Oh, okay. All right. So, Scotty, what's going on there in North Carolina?
A lot of chaos as people are rebelling in the streets. I feel like the heavy-handedness of the response of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department is what sparked it. Because at first people were just gathering from the reports that I've read and the things I've heard is that they were just gathering at the site to have a vigil where this latest person was killed. But there was a heavy police presence and later as more people gathered, I guess they told them they had to leave or disperse and they wouldn't do it. And so I heard that the Charlotte Mecklenburg police fired rubber bullets and tear gas at them, and that kicked it off right there. They had shut down I-85, which is the major interstate going through here. They pulled stuff off the back of a tractor trailer, and people were trying to say they were looting, like they were stealing, but no. They just took them materials, dumped them on the ground, and set them on fire. From what I can tell, it's like you know, pretty much Wild Wild West right now in certain parts of Charlotte. Again, as you mentioned, Jonathan Farrell was the young man that was killed in 2013, and even though they investigated and recommended charges against the cop, Randall Carrick, it ended in a hung jury, because you get these racists on these juries, and under no circumstances are they going to convict a cop of killing a black person. And now the interesting dynamic here in North Carolina is that a black cop fired the fatal shots. And they're claiming that Mr. Scott had a gun. His brother saying no, he had a book. The police through the media are saying that they found the gun, but they're not saying what kind of gun, nor are they saying that he pointed a gun at anyone. So, you know, lots of interesting dynamics here. But again, when it comes to these types of situations and what have you, I just don't draw the battle lines in skin color, because I see too many black slave catchers out here just willingly following orders and sometimes trying to show off and what have you. You know, you got David Clark up there in Wisconsin saying Black Lives Matter is the enemy, and that we have these people, black people in certain neighborhoods that are subhuman scum, and don't think that these slave catchers don't be listening to each other on stuff like that. So it's just tragic all around. And as I just heard from you all, I wasn't aware of it, because of course I'm working right now and I'm not able to watch the reports, but someone has been killed in Charlotte now, and they're trying to say that it was a citizen on citizen, like, you know, perhaps it might have been accidental, I don't know. But so now somebody else is dead from this. And you know, Colin Kaepernick was just here Sunday and he did his protest in the stadium and what have you, and so his point continues to be proved, sadly, week in and week out.
That's right. You are exactly right. His point is proven. And speaking of which, what was that they just told me? That somebody was just telling me that apropos of Colin Kaepernick, the football player that plays for who does he play for?
San Francisco.
What is it? San Francisco?
Yes.
Is it San Francisco? Okay, San Francisco. The NFL said that they would provide security for him, but Colin Kaepernick has said, from what I heard, said that, no, don't give me any security. If somebody shoot and kill me, then that means I died for the cause. So let it be. Don't provide no extra security for me.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I know he said he's received death threats.
And that's ridiculous, because you're standing up for justice. So, but thank you so much, Scotty, for giving us that update. And I'm
kind of
looking at this on the news also. And the report is anyone on the streets are subject to arrest now. So everybody in the area, please be safe and be careful. And I think it was the mayor in that area this morning, and she was like, oh, yeah, you know, we just want everybody to be peaceful and blah, 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 blah. You know, police are not peaceful when they come and they shoot you within 3 seconds. They're not
exactly
at all. We weren't on the air last week to even mention the poor little young boy that was killed up here in Columbus, Ohio, who police said he had a gun. I don't know if he had a gun or not, because I wasn't there, but according to witnesses, he got up and ran when the police told all the little boys. I think he must have been playing with some of his friends or something, and of course police are always looking for a suspect. They're always hunting in our neighborhoods, and so they stopped these little boys like they were suspects. And of course, like I said, people are fearful. They know that they can be shot and killed at any time, whether they have their hands up, hands down, on the ground, it doesn't matter. So the little boy
breathing,
ran. Yeah, breathing, it doesn't matter. Sleeping, like Fred Hampton, it don't matter.
Black Rose. Black Rose, there's just one thing that I failed to mention, but this follows, okay. I think it's only been about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. This follows the killing of the unarmed white man in Charlotte by police who was deaf and couldn't hear and whatnot, and they shot and killed him. And so this follows that right there. And so I'm not trying to make it a race issue, because mm-hmm. in my terms, it's about, you know, I'm just taking the view that it's about justice versus injustice. But I have to say, where are the White Lives Matter people? Or are y'all just using that as an antagonistic slogan to direct at black people? Or do you really care if, you know, about white people who are also being gunned down in the streets? And so, again, I just wanted to mention that 2 weeks ago they shot an unarmed white man in it who was in his car.
And this was a deaf man.
Yes, he was reported to be disabled, hearing disabled.
Mm-hmm. And I think, let me see, this man in North Carolina, he was reported to be disabled as well. And I remember seeing on Facebook recently that it was a hearing impaired young man. He made a sign for his car to put in his window to say, "I am deaf. I cannot hear you. Please do not shoot me if I do not respond to you."
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh.
It's bad. So I guess he must have made this sign in response to the other hearing impaired young man that you're mentioning, Scott, is being killed. But, you know, just like people are saying, oh, well, the cop that shot him was black, blah, blah, blah. I don't care if he was black, white, Chinese, blue, green. I don't care.
It don't matter.
It's the system. It's this whole system of police brutality and these police officers being so trigger happy and trained to shoot body mass to kill, not to just disable, but to kill. And that in and of itself is evil and it's wrong. Wait a minute now, Scotty, before you leave and before we go back to the Tulsa story and go to break. Well, no, we need to go to break. And Scotty, when we come back from break, could you please, if you don't mind, two things for me. Just share a brief synopsis of the prison strike that's taking place nationwide, as well as let people know how they can log on to BTR so that they can join the conversation with us on the BTR Black Talk Radio Network social media. Ooh-wee. I'm just loving it. I am loving it. But let's take a quick break, and we will be right back. You are listening to The Lotus Place. We want you to call in 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. And while we go to break, we want you to go on to Black Talk Radio Network page and donate $1, $2, $100, $1,000, $1 million if you want to keep us bringing you these beautiful shows, informative shows. Black Talk Radio Network is here for you, and we want you to be here for us as well. So go onto the page, donate, and also sign up on the BTR, the new black social media created by your very own Scotty. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Back here at the Lotus Place, and you can call in. Tonight we are talking about the black woman is tired. The black woman is tired of being put down. The black woman is tired of being debased and degraded by her brother, and we need to come together. We see how they're killing us. We see what's going on. We're all thrown off. People having these mental breakdowns. So it's time for us to reconnect. So we have got to come back together, get grounded, and love each other. Love ourselves first and learn to love each other. And we're going to talk more about that tonight. And also we're talking about these trigger-happy cops. The shootings have taken place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as well as Charlotte, North Carolina. Riots are taking place in the street. Well, uprisings in the streets of Charlotte. Another person has been killed during this protest, and so we want to send out our condolences not only to the Scott family, but also to this person who just recently lost their life. I don't know if it's a male or female or what. So I see that the National Guard is ready to come in at any time at the request of the governor. So I don't know, we'll see what will happen tonight. So stay tuned for that. But Scotty, are you still there with us?
Yes.
Okay. So Scotty, can you give us just a quick update on the prison protest that's taking place? Because I've been following it, and I'm just so glad that they're speaking out. And I totally, totally support them. And if it's any kind of way that we out here behind these bars on this side of the enemy lines, any kind of way that we can help, we need to know what we can do. So could you please just give us an update?
Yes. On September the 9th, on the 45th anniversary of the Attica Prison Slavery Rebellion of 1971, prisoners across the United States kicked off a coordinated national rebellion against modern prison slavery. And they're pointing to the 13th Amendment. They are pointing to the school-to-prison pipeline. They're just pointing out the same conditions that exist on prison plantations that existed back in the 1800s on those plantations. Much of the same brutality and abuse, just everything, exploitation of labor. And so they are holding hunger strikes, work stoppages in an attempt to raise awareness about modern day slavery and human trafficking. The mainstream media has been ignoring it, as well as the political leaders of this country. They have largely just been ignoring this. Well, I would say they would totally have ignored it, as I've heard nothing from any U.S. representative, U.S. senator, or member of the Obama administration even acknowledged that the strikes are going on. So that Right. is what's going on. The best thing that you can do to support them is to keep spreading the word that slavery was never abolished. And you can find out if there's any local events that's going on, as I know some activists have been staging demonstrations outside of prisons and what have you. So you might need to do like a local search, do something like a search on prison strikes for whatever area you're in, hopefully you can find the event. But again, media has largely been ignoring this. So, but if you want to keep up with some of the latest postings, just do searches, whether they be Google searches or social media hashtag searches on prison strike. So that's what's going on. The struggle continues.
And the struggle continues. Yeah, they are in full-fledged strike, and I am so glad, because it is a continuation of slavery, locking our people up as they continue to do daily. So thank you so much, Scotty. So as you mentioned, you can stay informed about what's going on. We need to stay informed about what's going on with our brothers in prison, because many of them, as we already know, should not even be there. And even if they are there because they've committed some type of crime, these people should not be forced to work for 20 and 30 cents a day. They should not be forced to eat substandard food, with substances that we shouldn't even, that should not even be considered as a meal.
Right.
Something I wouldn't even give my dog.
Right.
They're trying to serve these people that are incarcerated this old food, meat. I read that they're being served like meat that hasn't been refrigerated. And we remember the people from the Alabama prison strike, when they showed pictures last year, the so-called meat was green.
Right.
Green.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense at all. And then what's the brother name? Ortiz, who filmed Eric Garner being choked down, choked to death. He even stated how the guards were putting rat poisoning pellets in his food. So he had to eat from the vending machine. One man I read this recent strike and protest, he said he just eat toothpaste. He's resorted.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Wait a minute, really, really quick, and then I want Scotty to talk about BTR if you can, and then we're going to leave you alone, Scotty. Speaking of the prisons, as Scotty mentioned up there in Wisconsin with that coon-ass Clark, in his jail, the jail that he's over, a man died from dehydration because they cut his water off in the cell. For 6 days, he did not have access to water. That is a human rights violation. That jail should be shut down. And that man needs to be arrested. The UN should step in. President Obama, Loretta Lynch, and whoever else, Black Caucus. I heard they're supposed to be going to march to the Justice Department. I don't need you to march. I need you to try to change the damn laws. That's what I need you to do. I need you to push for that.
Right. So hey, anyway, that's a good point, right? We got plenty of people marching.
Yeah.
You
right.
were
yeah.
Yeah, you were elected. You were elected to change laws.
That's right. That's right. I need you to do your goddamn job. I don't
need
you to march. We got people foot soldiers. We have foot soldiers.
That's being taken care of.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They already marching. Hell, I'm looking at them on TV right now. March. What the hell are you going to march to the Justice Department for? You in the position where you can call a goddamn meeting with Loretta Lynch and sit down, and everybody sit down and get this shit together, like right now, like yesterday. Like Martha said, it's already too late, philosophy. Hell, I'm so sick of them playing games. Oh, don't let me see neither one of them come out the building. I'm throwing a rock at them and my damn shoe. But anyway, so the man died from dehydration, which is very, very sad, because no one should die from a lack of water. And the other prisoners were telling the guards, the man needs water. If he dies, it's and they still refused him water. Yes. So, Scotty, can you tell people how to get onto this BTR? Because I know Aja is ready to talk about the Black woman is tired, and we're going to move on into that. And also, if anybody wants to call in and share their thoughts on what's going on in Charlotte and Tulsa, you can do that also. But Scotty, can you tell people what is BTR and how can they log on, please?
Yes. BTR Community is a new online Black social experience. Black people particularly use a lot of social media. And that translates into a lot of dollars for people who don't look like us and who are not investing that money back into our communities. And so, you know, Black Talk Media Project is really, really, really focused on building an alternative mass communication network for black people. And so the way for us to fund that is by offering this subscription-based social media platform, where it's just $24 a year or $5 a month or $1 a week. All, you know, if we just reach 100,000 members, that would provide Black Talk Media Project with a budget of $2.4 million annually. Do you know how much black media we can restore to these communities that have been lost as a result of the 1996 Telecommunication Act, which was the death knell in black independent media and localized black media? So this is just another safe digital space that Black Talk Media Project has created for black people to share information and share their views. It is not like the other social media platforms, meaning that we are not profit driven. Therefore, there are no ads whatsoever, which also means that we are not data mining your information so that we can target you with ads. So this is a safe and secure black space, black digital space. And you can get there by going to btrcommunity.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scotty.
And we've logged in. I'm logged in, and I've been communicating with people. Featherlight friend me today. Or was it yesterday?
Yesterday,
because I said, hey, send me, because I got on there, and I started trying to friend everybody. And so I said, Featherlight, send me a friend request. So I've been on there, and you can create groups just like on Facebook, and I want to create a couple of groups. I got to talk to Scotty about one because I don't know if he approves of one of them, so I don't know. I'm going to send Scotty a message and ask him, can I start this particular group? And then everyone can join it. So, but thank you, Scotty. So, yes, people go online, and like we said before, purchase a subscription for your friend or family member so that they can go on to BTR and communicate with you and enjoy the social experience as well. So, and I love it too. I'm going to start taking some time and getting on it more. I've been on the site like every day for the past few days since I've been able to kind of have a little time in the evening time since I'm here in Cleveland for a little while, but get on that site so you can communicate. And it's BTR, and we've been saying we need something else. Facebook is always putting us in jail, and like Scotty mentioned before, not saying that you don't have to also use Facebook or Twitter for what you can use it for, but this is just another social media experience that we could take advantage of, because there are new ones coming up every day. Snapchat. Something else. I saw some other kind of new thing. I was trying to share something, and some new social media thing popped up. I said, my goodness. So, I mean, we can create all of these different accounts, and we can connect with so many different people in so many different ways with these new social media apps. And I think the BTR is going to be one that will certainly explode and expand the more that we use it and share with our friends and family, encourage them too to get on there so that we can all communicate.
And it's by us.
That's right.
It's by us.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what we need. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we talked about the Tulsa shooting, Terrence Crutcher, and just briefly, I'm just going to mention this, how I did see a report a few days ago where so-called cops are trying to say that they found PCP in his car and all of this. But then we also read reports that this particular officer, this female officer, has just recently come off of some PCP ICP identification training. So now all of a sudden you find PCP. I really don't even think black people do any PCP these days. I mean, I just really don't. I mean, I don't really generally hang around people that are into any type of, you know, heavy drugs anyway. But I mean, I know that people in Baltimore and some other places are on heroin, but I mean PCP. And then you ride, you know, but you know that was always the statement, you know, ooh, he was so strong, like he was on PCP, you know.
Sure, he was.
I don't believe that the man was on no darn PCP in the first damn place. And anyway, if he was on PCP, you didn't know that when you shot him outside his car. And it didn't look like he was acting erratically. It looked like he was trying to be very sensible and calculated
and
about his movements, because he had his hands up and he was, yes, and he was compliant, since everybody said the Corrine Gaines should have been compliant. And maybe nothing would have happened to her. Well, guess
if
what?
If she had been compliant.
Yeah, if she'd just been quiet and shut her mouth and stopped talking back to the police and thought about her child, which, I mean, you know, I'm sure that she was thinking about her child, because she kept talking to her children while they were in the car. But since people said she should have, you know, just been compliant, so this man was compliant, and he was placing his hands on the car, and they still shot him down in the street like an animal, like a deer.
Right.
Like a raccoon, like a possum.
Right. Yes.
Like
yes.
a duck in the sky.
Right.
They shot him down in the street, and it's all on video, and it's disgusting, and it's horrible. And I actually just watched the video parts of it today, because I just can't keep taking in all of these snuff videos like that. I just can't keep doing that. But I want to just play this quick clip of Terrence Crutcher's sister.
After watching the video and seeing what actually happened, we asked for the facts, we asked for answers, and we clearly got it through the video, and we're truly devastated. The entire family is devastated, and you all want to know who that big, bad dude was? That big bad dude was my twin brother. That big bad dude was a father. That big bad dude was a son. That big bad dude was enrolled at Tulsa Community College. Just wanting to make us proud. That big bad dude loved God. That big bad dude was at church singing with all of his flaws. Every week, that big bad dude, that's who he was. We just celebrated our 40th birthday, August 16th, a month ago. And I had his text message, and it said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you all proud. And now he'll never get that chance because of the negligence and the incompetency and the insensitivity. And because he was a big, bad dude, he'll never get that chance. And so we're demanding today, immediately, that charges are pressed against this officer that was incompetent, that took my brother's life. We're demanding that. It's time for everybody to demand that this stops and that justice is served. We just want justice. Because I want for everyone to know that that big bad dude, his life matters. His life matters. His life matters. And the chain breaks here. We're going to stop it right here. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, this is bigger than us right here. We're going to stop it right here.
Yeah.
that was a video clip of Terrence Crutcher's sister speaking. And, oh my God, and this is twin sister. Boy. And I think that they had the mom maybe sitting in front, and she just, oh my God, she just looks so sad.
Yeah.
She just looks so sad. It's horrible. Let's get into a little bit of our topic. And again, if you want to call in and share, please do. You can call in 641-715-3660 is the number to dial, and the participant code is 549032. Press pound and press star 61 if you'd like to speak. So, Featherlight, talk to us about the black woman being tired.
Okay. This is a piece that I did. I've seen so much hate against the black woman, as if the black woman is the problem for all this suffering that we're going through. I mean, I know that, like you said, a lot of people are going through a lot of, they're going through some mental and emotional times right now because of what they see. And sometimes when I saw this quote a while back, it says, hurt people hurt people, okay? And it basically means you're hurting, and so you strike out and you hurt somebody else, okay? So I see on the media, not just on the fake book, but a lot of derogatory sayings and speakings from, unfortunately, our black men about how they just really don't want to have anything to do with the black woman. And they talk about the black woman's hair. They talk about the black woman wearing fake eyelashes, the black woman's the way she talks, the way she carries herself, if she gets killed, with her attitude. Well, if she hadn't done this, she would be alive. And, you know, and it just, it hurts me. It bothers me. And so I just wanted to discuss this. And like you said earlier, we need to pull ourselves together. What would a king be without his queen? Okay. So I'm going to kind of break this up in parts so that we can discuss it as I read, because I don't want to just run through it and say, oh, good night. You know, this bears discussing, because this is a serious problem within our community. We cannot move forward if we're not holding hands, if we're not locked arms together. You can break a finger, but it's damn hard to break a fist. And we need to bring ourselves together and make this mental fist. And I'm just gonna share this with you, and we'll discuss it as we go. So the black woman is tired. If you type in black women who love and support the black man on the internet, you'd see my picture in the first group, and Black Rose as well, with my fist up. Yes, I support the black man. But this black woman is tired. She's tired of being disrespected, humiliated, unappreciated, and mocked. The black woman is much more loyal to her man than he is to her. She supports him, rallies for him, defends his actions, even when she knows he's wrong, ride or die. The black woman is to criticizing her man in public, like some Negroes are when it comes to talking about racism in front of Europeans. Negroes don't want to be accused of pulling a race car, and the average black woman does not want to be accused of male bashing. So they keep quiet, but it is what it is. As Malcolm X put it so plainly in a 1962 speech in L.A., and I quote, I know you've heard this, but you're going to hear it again. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. He asks, who taught you to hate the color of your skin? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who, black man, I ask you, who taught you to hate the black woman? Who taught you to hate her? Did you take the blue pill that makes you all of a sudden hate her? Our own men openly on World Wide Web and in the crooked media not only throw the black woman under the bus, but then puts the bus in reverse, constantly pointing out her faults, leaving her unprotected, and siding with his enemy to defame her character for a few pieces of silver. Now, let me say this one more thing and we're going to pause, because this is what caused me to write this. A black man stated on Facebook the other day, he said, and I quote, I'm thinking about dating outside my race. Black women are so jealous and demanding. Now, this guy is engaged, okay, because he mentions that my fiance. And he says that his fiance wanted him to remove his ex's picture and profile and whatever from his Facebook friend list because this was, you know, obviously causing some issues, okay? I don't know what issues, but I could pretty much guess. I mean, she's probably commenting on things and did. She was the old girlfriend. Get rid of her. Just, you know, you get married. So further down in his little comments and stuff, he had the audacity to say, can't a man have some memories? What kind of... what? Okay, you get married, right? Okay, now you know your wife, your fiancé, your wife-to-be, looks at your Facebook quotes and stuff, but you tell everybody, I'm thinking about dating outside my race. Okay, so the point is, he pulled the equivalent to what black women perceive as the quote-unquote race call. I'm a date outside my race. Nah. So this was really just sending shivers down our spine. Oh, no, not a black man turning to the white woman. Oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, what can I do to keep you? Okay. So black men date or marry outside their race, and I've done my research, you know I always do, more than double the rate of black women who date outside their race. More than double. Yet, Olivia Pope's character on Scandal, we all know about Scandal, even those of you who claim you don't watch it, you know about it. Olivia Pope's character on Scandal is routinely, or was routinely savaged online for having a capital F, fictional, which means false people, fictional affair with the show's married European president of the United States. Oh, they just slammed her. She's what do they call it? Bedwench. Yeah, bed they called her a bedwench. But black men are given a pass because they can date whomever they want. They can freely say on worldwide fake.
I never really see people in outrage about
say
if we were to reverse that. Because there's
other
movies that depict that like an interracial couple and a black man is with someone of another race. I mean, there was a whole movie made about that, Jungle Fever.
Yes, she was.
Anyway.
Okay.
We'll take a break so that we can come back and have more discussion.
Yes. All right. I'll finish up this one paragraph on that. Because white women Oh, they can freely say on worldwide Facebook, I'm thinking about dating outside my race, and nobody says anything. Some of the women who were commenting, they were saying things like, well, you know, we can be a little jealous. I mean, defending him. We can be a little jealous. We do have our ways. Please, okay? Stop letting them just do whatever and trying to hold on to them. Because white women don't get jealous. European women don't get angry. They don't wear weaves. They don't have fake hair pieces. You know, they're all for real. All, every part of them is just totally real. This is the impression that they're putting out there, that they allow, obviously, black men to do whatever they want, even if it's nothing. Oh, and by the way, European women are never aggressive, right? They just go for the throat. Kill, kill. Okay, let's take a break.
What you say? They just go for the kill, kill. Life, how much? We got to get you on stage one day. Okay, so we'll take a break, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place, and while we're on break, remember to go on to Black Talk Radio Network and log on. You see all the shows, Tanya Free, Brother Elliot with Time for Awakening, Fando. I mean, so many. Then we have some new radio shows that are on Black Talk Radio Network. So we want you to go on and just tune in. You can tune in throughout the day and listen to some older shows, new shows, I mean, all day long. And then while we're on break, don't forget, as we mentioned before, to log on and sign up for the new social experience, BTR. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place. We are talking about the black woman is tired and is trigger-happy policing. Like Marvin Gaye said, trigger-happy policing. And when did that song come out? What year was that? Was that in the 60s or 70s? And we still on the same thing.
Yes.
Still on the same.
I mean, if we were to listen to his lyrics, it would be like it's happening right now.
It's applicable to today, clearly.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
What I believe in is a cover up. They made a mistake and they're doing their best to make sure they cover up that mistake. That's what's happening.
Do you agree that the officer they mentioned is the same one that you saw yesterday?
No, ma'am. It was not a black officer that killed him. It was a white officer that killed him. He was bald headed. The black officer came on the scene maybe 10-15 minutes later, and he was the one doing the PR on him. Now, I'm not saying, you know, by that time, I'm pretty sure the man was already gone because he didn't die at the hospital at 4 o'clock. He died out here at 6:30.
You actually saw the shooting?
I actually saw the shooting. I saw the shooting and I saw that man die. I saw him take his last breath. I saw him move. And then that was nothing. He moved no more after that.
Had he gotten out of the car with a gun?
No, sir. He got out of the car with a book.
And you saw the book?
I saw the book. Now, I can't tell you what the name of the book was, but it was a black cover.
And so he got out and he was holding it?
No, it was on his lap. He got out, his hands was up. He got out his car, he got out the car, I'm pretty sure he just opened up the door and stepped out his truck, because it's a truck, so he don't have to do all that shit when he get out of the car.
And you said this earlier, but I want to make sure I get it exactly right. For the best of your memory, what are the exact words that Mr. Scott said to the officer?
He said, what is the problem? What did I do? What's wrong? And while he's saying that, he said, because they're telling him to come to them. So he's walking to the back of his truck, and he's asking him, what's the problem? What did I do? And then stepping over the book and everything. his kabuk done fell off his lap by this time. He's like, what did I do? What's the problem? And when he get back there, the police muffled something because I can't hear. And then as they know, they shoot that man 4 times.
Can I get your name?
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women. We respect them, but we want them to respect us. We think that the law should respect the Negro community. The law should protect the Negro community. The law should approach the Negro community with intelligence if it expects the Negro community to react intelligently.
And that was Malcolm X speaking on how the black woman is the most disrespected woman in America. And before that, and that video was, that clip was played in reference to our topic tonight. The black woman is tired. The feather light is talking to us about tonight. We want you to share with us also, because we're going to dig deeper into this. We're going to unpack this whole topic, because I know some people are like, what's what they mean, a black woman tired? What's she tired of? So we're going to talk about that. But before that, that was a clip of an eyewitness to the shooting of the brother in North Carolina, where the protests are taking place now. And I just saw on the news that person is on life support. So, you said that you saw a report that the person succumbed to the injuries. But I saw.
Yeah, they said one death of a civilian. During the uprising, but they're wrong, you know.
They're quite wrong. In fact, when I was looking at I only get a chance to see CNN. Not that I want to watch it, but I only see this crap when I'm in a hotel room. And I saw one of the reporters was trying to report, and Anderson Cooper was doing the string with the reporter, and somebody walked up to him and knocked him down on the ground.
Really?
Knocked him down on the ground and said something to him. I kind of missed it because I was doing something else. But, yeah, knocked him down. And Anderson Cooper was like, are you okay? Are you okay? He was like, oh, yeah, they're just taking their frustration out on me. Yeah, that's what they were doing in Ferguson. And they were saying the CNN is a lie. F CNN, get out of here.
Yeah.
And But the protests are taking place in response to Keith Lamont Scott. And that's what the eyewitness was speaking, and you may not have been able to hear it clearly, but you can pull that up on YouTube, because what the woman is saying, that it wasn't the black cop that shot him. It was the black cop that came on the scene 15 minutes later and gave him CPR. Somebody else shot the man. But like we said before, I don't care if the man was black. I don't care if he was Asian, like the, what's his name, Peter Lane, that shot a Kai Gurley.
Yeah.
And I don't care, it don't matter, because they all would bleed blue, like they say.
Exactly.
So they take an oath. So I do not care what color the man is that shot him. We have an innocent man that had a book in his hand. He was sitting in his car waiting on his son to be dropped off from school. He was there to pick up his son and reading a book. But you know what? That's even more dangerous than him having a gun in the eyes of the police officer.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So let's be real.
A black man with a book?
Oh, you reading? You reading?
We'll stop this right away.
Yeah, you won't be reading no more. And they shot. So people are uprising. It's just crazy pandemonium in North Carolina right now. It's insane. When I turned on the TV and saw that, I just said, wow, this is unbelievable. People are still protesting in Tulsa. I know a sister in Tulsa right now. She said that she was on her way to go and talk to some of the people. She lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she said that she was going to get some reports earlier today. So I hope that she can share some of those reports, and then we can report back to you so that you too can know what is going on. So we were listening to the Malcolm clip about the black woman being the most disrespected woman. So let's pick back up on that for the light.
Okay, so a group of European men who had black women on their arms, mostly married to them, were asked why they preferred black women. Now, I remember before I left Memphis, there was a show about why black men preferred white women. And I thought, this was 15 years ago. Okay, this is when it, you know, really got to be such a wave, you know. And I thought, why are y'all doing a show about that? You know, why are y'all highlighting, you know, why black men prefer white women do that? You know, and so I was quite offended myself. You know, some guys were actually saying, well, yeah, you know, when I get a white woman on my arm, you know, that ups my status, you know. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, so these are some comments by some European men who were asked why did they prefer black women. So this is Steve and Tasha. Steve says, black women are too often unfairly stereotyped about being aggressive or loud. I don't think it is fair to them. Personally, I've never experienced it. Even when we do argue, Tasha doesn't curse or get excited. She is about as soft as a woman can be made. This is Peter and Belinda. Peter says, I love everything about black women. Their dark skin, their full lips, and when they wear those little braids in their hair. Ho, ho, ho. Okay. So these are some more comments from European men. They say, they return my friendliness. They say, to be honest, their lips are to die for. One man says, now they sure are. You do have some full lips, darling. You should be very proud of your gift.
What we used
plus
to
you
call
have a beautiful smile.
We used to call the full
soup lips. Coolers. Soup coolers.
Yes, sir.
Now, mm-hmm. Now we do commercials for L'Oreal lipstick, because if you have thin lips, where can you put the lipstick? How can you advertise? But if you have nice full lips, you can see the full color and the coverage of the lipsticks. Okay, don't let me get started. One other European man says everything. Everything he loves about black women. Another one said, I see more unspoken vulnerability. Unspoken. We are tough. We have endurance. We can make it through the toughest of times, and they call us the strong black woman, superwoman, all kinds of names for us because we've been through so much and we're still here. But fellas, we are still vulnerable. We're still soft. We still hurt. Okay, so he says, I see more unspoken vulnerability in black women, and as a guy, it appeals to my manhood. Okay. Another one says, I think they're beautiful. I think they're absolutely beautiful. Another one says, there was something in Tiara, that's his wife, that I really liked. A gentleness, something that quietly said, and get this, I've been through a lot. And I need some help. I need your help. I've been through a lot, and I need your help. If so many black women can say that, I may look tough, but I've been through a lot. And I've got some spoken word that I want to share later that plays into this that I just said. So don't let me get off air without doing, and it's only like 3 minutes, spoken word. Okay. It's called Standing Ovation. Okay, so I was, yes, you remember that song. Oh, by the way, Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues with the Trigger Happy Cops, that was in 1971.
My birth year.
Right after I finished high school. Oh, yes, it was. Your birth year, right. Okay. All right, to continue on, I was proud of Kanye West when he spoke up for those stranded in New Orleans when the levees broke. You know, he said what he said to Bush, you know, you don't care about black people. And that was brave. And who Kanye chooses, you know, in this present day to leave his multi-million dollar legacy to is certainly... Yes.
That's what she is.
If you want to leave your legacy and your millions to a porn star, hey, go for it. But when popular figures like Kanye West, Kevin Hart, Maxwell, and a few others publicly make statements like, why I prefer interracial women, why I don't date black women, and black women are too aggressive, what's your point? What's your point? Who asked you? Who asked you? The white man? The European man? Why? What's the ulterior motive of getting out publicly and demeaning and debasing and mocking and ridiculing the black woman because you have a white one on your arm? Think about it. Why are they even asking you to defame the black woman in the process? Like black men who choose to have another man in their bed? Hey, go for it. That's their prerogative. But to try and popularize it because that's how you feel is not only wrong, but it's humiliating and hurtful. Beyonce's Lemonade is about the power and strength of black women. And she used Malcolm X's words to highlight the black woman's resilience in the face of overwhelming adversity. There is a difference between being assertive and being aggressive. Some people don't know what the difference is. But when a woman, a black woman, is considered to be tough and speaks her mind or demands her rights or demands respect, that's considered as bad to some people. That's it.
She has an attitude.
Yes. A weak woman cannot survive what we have survived, what we have been through. A weaker woman couldn't do it. No. So do you have any comments so far? Do you want me to, you know, pause or...
Well, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying, and it's like, you know, black women, we are tired of black men always talking about, as you mentioned before, you see so much of this on Facebook, black women this and black women that, and black women need to stop doing this, and black women need to stop wearing their hair like this and stop that, and they need to do this and they need to do that. What I would really, really like for black men to understand is you can't expect for some of these black women, because we're all different, you cannot expect for some black women to immediately pull their weave out of their hair or all of a sudden become docile when they've been told that they have to be strong. Okay.
Exactly.
And you have to understand, it's not just about the weave.
Right.
We have been psychologically traumatized about our hair.
Right.
For centuries. We've been
for
told
centuries.
Our hair is ugly, our lips too big, stomach's too puffed, have too much poosh, hips too wide, booty too big, nose too wide, eyes too big, hair too nappy, skin too dark.
Skin too dark.
Legs too big. I mean, anything you can think of. And so for black
anything
men,
that makes us us.
Anything that makes us us. So for black men to come back and say all of these things, I would just ask that our brothers would just take a step back and think about that. Think about how we've been told that our hair is ugly and it's natural, kinky, kingly, nappy state, that that's ugly. So if you've been told that that's ugly, then you try to rectify that. When we as women have been told that, and then we turn around and in turn teach that to our children by perming their hair immediately, because we're told that it's too hard to manage, so you need to straighten it out. Okay.
Or you'll be more. It's more acceptable. Mm-hmm. It's more acceptable if it's straight.
Yeah, and we see what's going on, not just here in America, but also in South Africa. The little young girls were protesting because they were told they couldn't wear their hair natural, so they were protesting. We talked about a case not too long ago in Memphis with a little girl a few years back when we were living in Memphis. The little girl couldn't even perform. Well, they tried to prevent her. Her dance instructor tried to prevent her from performing because she had braids in her hair. But baby, we rose up so hard and so tough in Memphis on them. They had
that
girl perform. And I mean, down there, half the city tried to come and see that little girl perform. It got so big, they wouldn't even let us come in the darn theater to watch that little girl perform.
Exactly.
They,
this was a ballet.
Turned us around.
So you know you have to have your hair pulled back.
That's
right.
And she had her hair pulled back.
She had her hair pulled back in a nice, neat, pretty bun. Just like you're supposed to. Huh?
We must have clowned that dance instructor so tough.
Ooh, we
called,
did.
We protested, we did everything we possibly could do. And guess what? That little girl performed.
She
and that's
sure
what
did.
We have to do. We have to stand up, not just for these children, but also for adults, because somebody just told me last night that the Supreme Court just ruled that black people can't even wear dreadlocks anymore on a corporate job. Now, I don't know how true that is because I hadn't had a chance to research it. But we do have our legal eagle on the line. Brother Brown, what say you about, we're talking about black women and the black woman being tired of being put down. And I played the clip on Malcolm X when he speaks about how the black woman is the most disrespected woman in America. You have any comments on our topic?
Yeah, first of all, I would like to say good evening to the listening audience. I'm sorry for being late, but I had a situation I had to deal with. And I agree with Brother Malcolm, because if you look at the disgrace that the black woman has been through for the last 2,000 years, I'm not talking about the 400 years of Western civilization enslavement. I'm talking about the whole 2,000 years where the European has invaded Africa. And debased this woman.
Uh-huh.
See, because her debasement did not come from the black male originally. Excuse me. The debasement of the black woman began with the European, because he was not used to seeing anybody from a matrilineal perspective. And we have gotten away from that. We have adopted the ways of the European in a patrilineal society that was not conducive to Africa. So when your mind has been reversed and the demons of your enslavement have incorporated your mind to think negative of the person that gave birth to you, then we got a hell of a situation.
Right.
And
exactly.
We have to look at this younger generation of black males who are very disrespected, not just to black women, but to their own mothers.
Yeah.
Mothers that gave them birth. And you see it every day, how they disrespect. If you disrespect your mother, I know you're not going to have any respect for a woman.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we were taught, Brother Brown. We were taught
you watch a man, you watch how he treats his sister and his mother,
mm-hmm.
his aunt, the women
mm-hmm.
in his family, and that's
mm-hmm.
how he'll treat you. If he disrespects his women in his family, what makes you think he'll respect you? Unless his mom molested him or something like that, he should be respecting his mother.
Exactly.
And you know, I'm not surprised at the Supreme Court ruling, if that's what they rule on, because it goes right back to something that was said in the Dred Scott decision, that we have to pay close attention to this country. We have to pay real, real close attention to this country and how
what they're doing.
The re-enslavement mentally of our people is occurring on an everyday basis, and we don't have any combatants for it. You know, I look like I told Mother Dunning today, and I don't know whether she sleeps or she on the air, but I told her in our conversation earlier today, you know, we are never going to combat this element if we don't break away from this psychological chain of enslavement. We're never going to combat this killing in the street, because all they're going to do, just like in Sandra Bland's case, that's not justice. Being you give me $1.9 million, the lawyer get 40% of the money, like Billy Murphy did up there in Baltimore in the case of Freddie Gray. $2 million, he gets 40% of it. And that's what these lawyers are asking for now in lawsuits of that magnitude. That's no more 33 1/3%. They're now asking for 40%. So they they can sit back and cut these deals. Go ahead and take the settlement for $2 million. I'll get $1 million. They'll get $1 million, and we'll walk off into the sunset. And in every case, in every case from Trayvon Martin on up to Freddie Gray or Sandra Bland, nobody has ever been prosecuted.
Yeah, I think Benjamin Crump is also the lawyer for the brother in Tulsa, because he held a press conference. So we'll see what comes of that.
They're going to keep using these lawyers, man, because they're locked in. These lawyers are not, they're not lawyers for justice.
No, they're not. They're getting paid. They're getting paid big time.
They're getting paid good money to sell us out.
That's
and,
right.
You know, Billy Murphy used to be the lawyer for the NAACP, and, you know, he had a little radical voice up there years ago. But I'm just saying, the NAACP ain't won none since Brown versus the Board of Education. That was 60-some years ago. They ain't even tried a decent case in Supreme Court.
Right.
You know, but when they decide to change the magnitude of the rules, and I told some younger people about this in reference to not just the hairstyle, but also the tattoos, the mannerisms of dress, because we don't have any jobs to give y'all.
Let me jump back in on this, because I want to hear some more of your comments, because I have some more things I want you to come in on too.
Feather Light, greetings to everyone. Just some breaking news. They're calling out the National Guard as a state of emergency has been declared in Charlotte.
Okay, so they did bring the National Guard in. Yes, thank you, Scotty, because they did say that the National Guard was standing ready. So the National Guard has been called in North Carolina. The National Guard has been called in.
I just
in
left
North
there
Carolina.
3 weeks ago. I was just in Charlotte area 3 weeks ago. I was in Roxborough for my wife's family reunion. Stayed down there for 3 days in North Carolina. You know, I had my deals with North Carolina in the early 70s, so I stay out of there.
Okay. So let me pick back up. Black women have been raped physically, emotionally, morally, in the videos, and not only by the European male and this crooked system, which set out long ago to destroy the black woman. When a black man is senselessly killed by the trigger-happy men and women who carry badges to end a life, the black woman is the first to raise her fist in condemnation. Can a weak, frail woman do that? When a black woman is killed in the same senseless manner, the black man finds fault with her standing up for her rights or says nothing. Some black men will say she was wrong and it's just too bad. Maybe she should have kept her mouth shut. Be quiet, voiceless. Or she talks the same way to her black man. But does she deserve to have her life snuffed out for demanding freedom, for demanding respect, for demanding to be treated with an ounce of dignity? This is how they're rewarded and remembered? Not by us who are sane. Teen girls are slung on the ground, scantily covered with bathing suits, while the world watches. And even younger girls are tossed around like rag dolls in front of their classmates in school by robust males bent on filling up prisons with young bodies of color. And there is no outcry by our men in large numbers. Oh, yeah, there are a few, but not large numbers. We only hear silence, maybe a quip or two, and then it's back to the business of roasting the black woman. In an effort to justify the lack of performance on their part, some will highlight the fault of others, the same way the media highlights a few protesters throwing bottles in an effort to disregard the actual reason for the protest in the first place, which is police brutality. Mm-hmm. Thugs throwing bottles becomes the highlight of the event, like what's going on tonight.
Right.
Oh, they're just acting all crazy. But what are they acting out for? What the hell is going on? It's the police brutality.
Exactly like with Colin Kaepernick and his protest, the focus is so much on the national anthem and why you should be standing, and just totally disregarding his whole position on why he is doing that.
Right. They don't say anything about that. You need to, honey, you need to be a patriot. You need to be, he's not even black anyway. What the hell has that got to do with anything?
That's just deflecting.
He's half white.
Change the narrative.
Yes.
Their own
change
narrative.
The narrative. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, where is our protection? Usually when someone is fixated on finding fault in others, like a bully, for instance, it's because they are not happy with themselves. They feel they've fallen short somehow. And so the black man who constantly complains about black women knows he has fallen short. He constantly finds fault with the black woman instead of admitting, I do not know how to protect my black woman or my children, because this would damage his ego. Now, mind you, I'm not talking about all black men. I'm talking about the ones who consistently and continually rake the black woman over the coals. And the black woman is tired. If I had a dime for every complaint about the black woman not appreciating her natural hair and how she needs to stop wearing weaves, I'd have an airfare to go to any place in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Marginalized, disregarded, and placated is how the black woman got to this place of identity confusion and loss of pride in the first place. Wearing the crown and title, the strong black woman, has this drawback sometimes. Here is how the black man who doesn't understand our plight has once again been hoodwinked and bamboozled to the max. Little girls in Africa, as you mentioned before, as we speak, protesting for the right to wear their hair naturally as it grows from their melanin scalp. Teachers tell them, go home, tame that mess. Teachers here in America send girls home with natural hairstyles. Natural hairstyles saying it's distracting. Little ballerinas are told they can't perform unless they straighten their glorious locks, even when their hair is neatly pulled back in a bun. And some of these teachers in Africa and here in this country are black. They're not white there. Some of them are black. Mm-hmm. Why are black men on this public damnation of our natural beauty? Why aren't they speaking up on this? What do these young girls see on television every day, all day? Long, straight hair from rap artists who are notorious for flaunting anything but natural black women, to actors and sports figures. Naturally black is definitely not the Kool-Aid of choice by these black males. Mm-hmm. That would incite black pride, and the system can't have that. Oh no. Start the programming early. Single black women are bombarded with images of scantily clad black women with nothing but long, straight hair, twerking their large butts as males throw rolls of cash at them, smiling and slapping their behind. This is on TV. This is what these young girls see. Fancy cars, yacht parties, and endless shopping sprees can be yours when you look like this and do like this. So what are they to do? What are they to feel? The black woman is tired. When women try to go natural, they get all kinds of negative comments from the black men. One black man on a public panel discussing natural hair versus weave said, and I quote, "Well, you know, everybody can't wear natural." What? They can wear weaves, but they need to make sure those edges are straight. What? My daughter wears her hair natural. She put in weave hair and got twice the attention, if not more, when she put the weave in, and her face is beautiful. She's gorgeous. Yet, they consistently deride and mock the black woman about her lack of identity for wearing weaves, wigs, and hair pieces. Black men who have lumpy heads go bald without a second thought, without asking his woman's approval. Oh, but he's got, you know, he can do whatever he wants. Although it is commonly known by most conscious people that the spiral nature of the African's hair is like an antenna to the solar system, but somehow the black man can get a pass. People, the black woman is tired. She is the most immolated woman in the world, with others copying her full, luscious lips, her full, baby-carrying hips, her ample butt, her soft tummy that cushions your body as you lie on top of her, and most of all, her melanin skin in an array of colors from blue-black to creamy vanilla. But these facts are intentionally overlooked by the media, the system, and even some of our own men. Black male artists, many of them with little or no talent, garnered big bank accounts and fancy cars simply by debasing and demoralizing the black woman in their lyrics and videos. The raunchier the lyrics, the richer they became, and the more fame and exposure they received. You have been bamboozled, being used by your enemy to hate your anchor. We are your anchor. Destroy the black woman. Destroy the black man. I was looking at Empire tonight, and yes, I do watch it because I watch it for different reasons than other people do. I try to get something out of it. I'm trying to get the message. This message, keep the family together. But I digress. Lucius and Cookie are not together. But Lucius is trying to get a group of men to join him and sign over their contracts or whatever. I didn't get the whole gist. But one of the guys' response was, "Man, you lost your woman. How can you be a king when you don't have a queen?" I said, "Oh, let me write that down. Mm-hmm. How can you be a king when you don't have a queen?" Now, see, even they knew. He had to kind of shuffle and jive on that one, well, you know. But they made a good point. You need your woman, man. You need your anchor. Yep. You need your anchor.
A man needs a woman, and a woman needs a man. I don't care
what exactly
says. I do not care. I do not believe in that. I don't need a man crap. Damn that. I need one. I tell anybody. I'm a damsel in distress. I'm a Southern Belle, but I need me a man.
Yes, indeed.
I would love
protect me.
A man. Yes.
Yes.
I love men. Love them. I wouldn't mind.
That's what I say. I got my fish up for them. Yes.
You hear me? I want two. Look, Brother Brown, I want two. That's how much I love men.
Maybe but, you know, one thing I must say, ladies, and that is this. so disrespectful to our ancestors for us to even think about the negativity of degrading our own women. And see, I was explaining to somebody the other day that a lot of this negativity came about in the middle 60s, around 67, 68, with the women's liberation movement. See, you have to watch everything that this European do. Mm-hmm. Everything that he does it for a reason. And as Dr. Frank
always
said, he is always fighting for genetic survival. Now, understood that what people said about this little Kaepernick boy, but let me tell you something right now. And people can mock what I say. He will make more money by being a protester than he will ever make playing professional football.
But that's not his goal.
Well, you know, because we have to look at one thing that we don't look at in this generation. We have to look at the sabotaging of our struggle. See, when our struggle is sabotaged, it's like I listened to some stuff that, the other night about how Black Lives Matter came into St. Louis. And it was from some very, very people with very reliable sources that when they started their struggle, it was all black. There was no Black Lives Matter. They got their kickoff in St. Louis.
Yes.
Okay, but you have to realize who was financially behind them. And as a member as a member of the original Black Panther Party, I saw this in the 60s and 70s. When they wanted to sabotage our operation, they financed people to come into the midst of us.
But wait, let me stop you right there. Are you saying that Kaplan is sabotaging the struggle for freedom for blacks?
No, I'm not saying he's sabotaging it. I'm just saying.
But what you saying?
I'm saying that we have to watch the sources that come to us as wolves in sheep's clothing. And I say it again because I know what they would do. They would the same people that finance Black Lives Matter, the same people that finance Obama, the same one that's backing Hillary. These people got They have plenty of money.
But let's stay on point with the black woman.
Right.
Debasing the black woman.
Right. Now what happened during the '60s, during the revolution, they came to her and said, "You don't need the black man."
That's not when they really started debasing the black woman. Not then. I didn't get that then. I got that in the past 15-20 years.
But I'm trying to make
I didn't get that then.
Okay. What they were doing then with women's liberation, the white woman was fighting for equality against the glass ceiling of the white male. So what she did, we had a structure back then in the 60s. We were together in the 60s. Okay? When they gave the black woman, they gave her public housing, they gave her, a program created in 1968 by Richard Nixon to give black women jobs and not the black man, that separated the household, that made her the breadwinner. All these things were by design.
Right, to break up the family.
Exactly.
Okay, let me finish up here because I still want to do my spoken word. So I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to skip a little bit. You mentioned something about, you didn't. But I just wanted to also say there have been several systems, yes, as you mentioned, to destroy the relationship between the black man and the black woman. And so recently, that is a good point, what you made earlier, that was done in the 50s and 60s, and then again, because they're constantly working on it, they're constantly until it's totally destroyed, with this new wave of rap music debasing and defaming the black woman. That has had a tremendous effect on how many black men feel about the black woman, and they have been extremely vocal about it. extremely vocal about it.
That's all that music, because all of it was designed by them Jews who own the company, who own the production methods of that radio. And what they're doing is that they're letting this stuff be played on the airwaves because they own the production methods. You saw that.
Right, and that's their goal. That's their goal, to destroy the black woman.
So if their goal is to destroy our women, and you got these little idiot homosexual boys like Lil Wayne and Birdman and all these other fools, you know, because that's what they are, they're fools. And you know, they sit back and they want people to think that they got all of this money and they got all of this clout and they got all of this when they just as broke as I am, you know.
Exactly.
And,
yes.
And we feed into that. We feed into
yes, they do.
The effects of them using our women in negative manners to get rich.
Right. Let me finish, Brother Brown, because we got 10 minutes. They employed you to help destroy the character of the black woman. Okay, so they have employed many of our black artists, many of them are not talented at all, to destroy the black woman. All right. Planned Parenthood, which consists of giving out free pills that triggers the growth of painful fibroid tumors, which prevent carrying a baby in the womb. And that ended up in unnecessary hysterectomies. We've got the school to pipeline prisons. No black babies there. You got Nutricide, which is outright murder. And last but certainly not least, the secession of making more black babies by turning many of our black men against the black woman through popularizing homosexuality and degrading the black woman in music in exchange for fame and fortune. You got t-shirts worn by healthy, robust black men that say gay is the new black. You can't make babies when you're poking another man in the butt. You've been bamboozled. So baby, honey, boo, the black woman is tired. When we lose appreciation for what we have, we soon lose it all together. Without us, there is no you. One man stated to all the black men who complained about the black woman, write it down and give it to your mother, because your mother is black.
That's right.
Okay? Your mother is black. As mentioned earlier, there are others who would love to have a black woman on their arms. Love to. And you will see, you will then see what it feels like to be tossed aside by your own. No one will blame us but you. You can't play with people's feelings for so long and not expect some kind of response. Hell has no fury like a black woman scorned. Now take a deep breath, y'all. Yoke with your higher self. Exhale. Stay healthy. Love your body. Love yourself. Remember, we've got to first love ourselves. If you don't love yourself, it's hard to love somebody else, especially somebody else who looks like you. We've got to start with the person in the mirror. Namaste.
The man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror. Come on, give us your piece, because I just did see on MSNBC that the person has died. There has been a fatal death, another death there in North Carolina during the protest. Someone did die from I don't know, I think it was a gunshot wound. The Latino brothers are out there now, and they're standing on the front line. One of them has on a gas mask, and they're standing in front of the police now. They said that they're not going. We have to stand together, and we have to take a stand, and we can't just continue allowing police officers to kill people.
Let's talk about that. We don't have to. I can do this another time. Let's talk about what's going on. Brother Brown has some other comments.
I know Brother Brown probably has some comments. Brother Brown, what are your thoughts on the shootings that have taken place and what's going on in North Carolina right now?
Well, you know, I just started looking at it because I was focusing on the one in Oklahoma.
Exactly.
The one in Oklahoma, you know, every Friday I had one of my clients was locked up down there one time, and, you know, he said they had open Klan meetings in the square every Friday evening.
Ooh! In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Ooh!
open Klan meeting. And see, a lot of this stuff in some of these cities, it don't hit media.
No,
it doesn't hit the media. Mm-hmm. So we you know, people that's got firsthand account of these elements, if you tell other people about, man, it means ain't that on the news. They put on the news what they want you to see.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If something happens that they don't want you to see, because all that violence in 2000 that went on in the city of Norfolk, Virginia, where I come from, that never hit national news.
Hmm.
They broke a black man's neck.
Mm.
After they pepper sprayed him. That was in 2000. That was 16 years ago. It never hit national media. That was way before any of this stuff happened. It never got to national media. They kept it in the city. They kept it squashed. And I can show you paper clips when I used to write for the black newspaper that I tried to put this element out there. But that never hit national media attention. So, you know, I know what's going on. I was right down there in the area. I was right in Roxborough, right outside of Charlotte, because Charlotte and Durham is right next to each other. You got Charlotte, Durham, you know, all of us right in the same area, like within, 10 or 10 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right down there. I ran right through Charlotte.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It looks a mess in Charlotte. Let me just share this little quick.
I'm looking at it now. The protests,
which appear to be increasing in frequency and intensity. Demonstrators left the streets, then blocked this crucial highway in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's the interstate. That's 85.
There, the authorities used tear gas to try to control the fractious situation. But the anger only exploded. This police car was vandalized. 12 police officers were injured. As once again, at the heart of the unrest, the suggestion that there's a disregard in America for black lives.
When I see this, I'm thinking, any given moment, I get pulled over or stopped or a cop comes, it's likely I'm going to get shot, armed or not. I'm going to get shot. It's been growing. People getting shot everywhere, man. So if you're a black guy, you probably should be scared.
In the last 24 hours, Keith Lamont Scott was shot by police and died in hospital. The officers who found him insist he was carrying a gun.
They respond and confront the subject as they engage him. He is armed with a handgun that we found on scene as well. Makes some imminent threat to them, and because of that, at least one of our officers fired.
Live on Facebook, Mr. Scott's daughter documented the moments after her father's death. She disagreed with the police's version of events.
My daddy ain't had no gun.
As police in Oklahoma continue to investigate the shooting 5 days ago of an unarmed man, this latest incident has reignited the issue of race and the allegations of racism.
Well, you got to. I'm here to tell you that the only way you're going to stop police brutality is you got to stand up and be brutal with this damn beast. You got to step to this cracker or it will never stop. You can moan, you can groan, you can sing, you can pray, you can recite, you can claim you know all the Quran, Old Testament, all the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the Quran from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas. You can know all the Medunetah. You can know Maya, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, reciprocity. You can name those of the Netter system. You can go and study the Odu text and substantiate your position according to Odu. You can study the Ifa, or the Word, or the Akan, or the Yoruba, and run through the pantheon of the Orisha. You can call on Oludumare. You can call on Ilegba, and Shango, and Obatula, and Oshun, and Ogun, and Yemonya. You can know all of that. Unless you're willing to stand up and step to this white man, we will never get out of this condition.
And that's real.
Father Khalid Muhammad.
That's right.
Black
Come
Rose.
Yeah.
If I may say something about that, if he had a gun, whether he had a gun or not, North Carolina makes that not even a question to be asking, because open carry, you don't have to have a permit to open carry a handgun here in North Carolina. One of my uncles that recently passed away used to walk around with his gun in a holster. So here in North Carolina, it's not just that you can open carry rifles, but you can open and carry a handgun as well, and you don't need no permit for it. So, like, one law professor has stated is that they had no probable cause to stop him or question him or detain him just for having a gun, because there was a case where a man here in North Carolina, he was wearing his gun on his hip in a holster, and the police saw him and they gonna roll up on him, and then they gonna stop question him and the guys with him, and they found a gun on one of the guys who was a felon. But he got his conviction overturned because they said that man having a gun was not probable cause for you to stop and frisk or search any of these men.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's right. That's what somebody was speaking about earlier. You can. It's the same with, what was the brother that got killed in Louisiana, not Philando. What was his name? There's just too many of them. But he had a gun, and they still shot him, the one that was selling the CDs.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of his name.
Was it Sterling?
Michael Brown.
Sterling.
No, not
Sterling. That's it. The one in Louisiana, Brother Brown, that was selling the CDs, and the cops ran up on him and shot him and killed him. Happened the same
shot him while his face was down on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, while he's down on the ground. So, right, even if the man did have a gun, that's from earlier tonight. I'm just looking at the tear gas being thrown at people in.
Yeah, he was not, if it's even like they described, he was not committing a crime against anyone. He wasn't threatening anyone. And if they saw him with a gun, so what? He was not. That's not against the law.
That's right. So what if he had a gun? I mean, you know, we've seen plenty of people walking around brandishing guns, and cops come and talk to them and hey,
talk them down 40 minutes.
Put the gun down. There's no need for all of that. I mean, we can go straight to the Bundy Ranch uprising. All of them had guns pointed at the sheriff. I think only one person was killed. One person. And you had an army of people pointing guns. And they told those sheriffs, you come across this line, we're shooting everybody. And they had men, women, and children out there.
Basically, what they're saying is, you're black, you cannot have a gun. We don't care what our laws are, but you are black, you can't have one.
That's right. That's right. And that's what people were saying on Black Twitter today. Yeah, it's open carry, but not for black people.
That's exactly. Right.
You can't carry. I mean, I was a victim of that. I had a concealed weapon permit when I was a resident of Virginia. I've never been convicted of domestic violence, and I've never been a convicted felon. The police knew that I had a handgun permit. They knew that I was an activist. After getting off of work one morning, I had been stopped by these police once before for traffic violation. Then I beat them in court without an attorney. Go back. They would patrol my neighborhood. They would come by my house and flash floodlights in my window. So one morning I got off work, worked all night, and I came home, and they pulled up on me. They never said a word. Both of them jumped out, two white officers. They jumped out of a police car. They drew down on me, and if it hadn't been for my neighbor standing in the door, then I wouldn't be talking to you.
Wow.
That happened 10 years ago.
They met you in your driveway?
I lived in an apartment complex, and I drove right in front of my door. And when I looked up, getting ready to get out of the car, I just happened to look through the side rearview mirror and saw these two cops. They got out the car and they immediately put their weapons on me.
Ooh.
They didn't ask me anything. They knew who I was. They didn't say anything to me. And even when my neighbor came out and said, "You okay?" and they saw her, they never said anything. They never asked for my driver license.
They got back
in the car and they left.
Wow. That's why we have to be careful with activists out here. But thank you, Brother Light. Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you, Scotty. Peace and blessings to everyone. Please be safe. I know people said that they're willing to go to jail in North Carolina, in Tulsa, but just please be safe, because we know what they're doing to people in the jail. So please don't go to jail. We need to be out on the street and
Can't do anything in the jail.
That's right.
Yeah.
Peace and good night. Be safe.
Namaste.
Namaste.